It's a dilemma for you. The dilemma is if you think Jesus...
I'm trying to read.
Well, I'll just give you... We're leaving, so you don't have time to read it. The dilemma is that if you reject Jesus, you'll live a crummy life, tears and sorrow. If you receive Jesus, you'll live a wonderful life. And if you just say that he was a man but not God, you'll live a life filled with tears and sorrow. You want a life that'll count for God? The only way to do it is to receive Jesus as your Savior and then live for him. Make him your Lord. He's just a man.
He's just a man.
He's God. He's God Almighty.
But he's a man.
He's all man and all God.
Yeah.
If you don't receive him as all God in deity form, see, he said, "No man's ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man who's in heaven." He claimed to be omnipresent. He claimed to be omnipresent. Oh, not even the devil is omnipresent. So he claimed to be present in heaven and on earth at the same time. He says, "I and the Father are one."
You don't think the devil's omnipresent?
No, the devil's not omnipresent.
I would think that's much more prevalent than... Granted, God's all right.
Yeah, but the devil is a created being. He's got to have a presence. Now, he's got a lot of emissaries. He's got a lot of devils or demons.
He's got a little henchman.
Yeah. So he knows, you know, and he's got a lot of people who yield to him. But he doesn't have to be present with a drunk. He's already got him. He might be, you know, the devil has a seat at a certain place, the abode, so he's got a wonderful life will take place when you live for Jesus. Get saved and live for him.
Jesus is the man.
That's right.
He died for all of us.
He said, but all people won't get into heaven. I had a person last night told me everybody was going to get to heaven. He said, even Hitler was going to heaven. I said, how is that? Well, he was going to go through a place of cleansing. I said, oh, like purgatory. They wouldn't buy that, but that's not true, see. You got to be born again. Have you been born again?
I'm a big believer in purgatory, I'll tell you that.
You are?
I'm a big believer in purgatory.
So are you Roman Catholic?
Yes, I am.
And I'm not Roman Catholic because there's the thing that I went to Roman Catholic high school in college. I was a Protestant.
I was raised Roman Catholic. I never went to any kind of school or anything.
Yeah. But now, Roman Catholicism elevates tradition to the same plane or level as the Bible. Right? Tradition on one hand and the Bible on the other. When they disagree, the hierarchy or the Pope or the priest tells you which one's right. Or they tell you receive the wafer, and that's literally receiving Jesus because they turn that piece of bread into Jesus. Now that's tradition because that's not Bible. Or now, but they say that's right.
I still reserve the right to choose what's, you know, thinking for myself and whatnot.
Okay, well, so then that makes you would have been burned at the stake in the Dark Ages for believing that you reserve any right to anything.
Well,
you're a Protestant in that sense. So now, right? See, so now the thing.
I'm just listening, man. You go ahead.
Okay, so now a tradition. Tradition says that there's a purgatory.
Yes.
Okay, the Bible, you won't find purgatory.
I'm a very big believer in forgiveness, I will tell you that much.
Okay, well, forgiveness is only for those that are born again. The new birth doesn't take place at baptism. The new birth takes place when the Spirit of God comes into you to live in your body with you. Now, purgatory is a place for...
What about forgiveness for those who are open to it? Those who ask for it and those who sincerely want it.
But forgiveness takes place when you're born again. And the only way you get born again is when you realize...
Can you ask for it?
You can ask for forgiveness, but it's, you know, you don't get it.
You sincerely want forgiveness.
You can, you know, you might feel better because of asking for forgiveness.
No, I'm talking about eternal damnation or...
All right, well, here's
getting
what...
forgiveness.
Here he says, talking about Jesus. And he says that he appointed him heir of all things. He's spoken unto us by his Son. And he made the world. He's the brightness of his glory, and he's the express image of his person. Holds all things by the word of his power. And when he had by himself... Now you look at that, read that to me. When he had by himself...
First what is sin sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
All right, if he by himself purged our sins, what's the purpose of you going to purgatory to purge something that's already been purged?
I don't see the point in trying to make.
If Jesus already purged your sins, that
he purged the original sin. That's what he died.
It doesn't say that. He says our sins.
Well, that's one little part of the whole Bible.
Well, you know, that's
I can't flip to a page. I'm going to be honest with you. Flip to a page
Well, it's a salient point. It's, in other words, it's a high point of the Bible, and obviously, not many verses say the same thing. But the Bible does say that he by himself purged our sins. Now, if he by...
I've been brought to believe that that's the original sin. That's the sin we're all born into the world.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure what religion you are. Are you born into that same kind of...
I'm a Bible believer, and I go to a Baptist church.
Okay.
I'm a Bible believer, so I take the verse that says he by himself purged our sins.
I'm not trying to push your balls or anything. I'm just, you know, curious.
Okay, so he by himself purged our sins, I believe that. I don't believe that I need to add to what he already did
by suffering in purgatory.
That's right.
Okay.
Because then I'm saying what he did wasn't good enough. Now, see, on the simple level...
I completely see
that?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so now that is born witness with the whole Bible.
I'm just saying that I completely see your... I mean,
You want to hold the banner for a minute? Now, see, if he by himself purged our sins...
Yes.
Then what God did is finished. And when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." The atonement was completed. The payment for your sin was accepted by God in heaven. And you don't have to add to what he did because it's finished.
All right.
Now, the tradition comes along and says it was only the original sin. But you won't find that in the Bible.
Well, that, to be honest with you, when he died on that cross... If he did die for all ages, I mean, that's a very big one. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, up to that, but my personal belief, up to that point, he said, all right, original sin, that's taken care of. But in my point of view, he's also saying people will screw up. People are going to do wrong. They need to confess those sins, and they need to be very sorrowful for them, and they need to ask for forgiveness, and that's fine. But I'm taking care of this original sin, this first happening, up until my point in time. I mean, this is way before your and my time. I'm sure me and you both have done wrong since that time, and I think we need to ask for forgiveness. And I don't think Jesus died for our sins because we hadn't committed them yet. I'm sure he anticipated that. But I also believe that he left an out for us to say, I am sincerely sorry for that.
Just to say on this, he says when he by himself purged our sins, he didn't isolate it to only original sins. And if I have to pay, if I have to pay, let's walk away from the music a little bit. Get out from right in front of it. See, he said, see, so the issue is tradition as authoritative as the Bible, or is the Bible superior to tradition? And so I present to you that this Bible is a supernatural book that's superior to all other books on earth, including any traditions that man wants to make up. It's superior to the Quran or the Kabbalahs or to the...
So you don't recognize any kind of foreign deity? I mean, any kind of Western thought?
No, I recognize the Bible is superior to all other thought. And the reason for that is that God put a litmus test in. He said, show the things that are to come hereafter that we may know ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Now he says, show the things that are to come hereafter. The only one that knows the future and can show the things that are to come hereafter is God. And the Holy Bible has thousands of illustrations in it where men wrote down in detail future events, and then those events came to pass.
All right, granted, but I mean, are you acclimated with other parts of the world? I mean,
no other book on earth does it.
Are you positive about that?
I'm absolutely positive. I've been to the mosque at Stratford Road here in Memphis. I asked that mosque. I said, show me a place in the Quran where
Red Sox,
Muhammad or any of the other writers of the Quran wrote the detail down before an event.
Jesus never wrote anything either.
Oh yeah, he did too. He said, Peter, you're going to deny me thrice.
Peter wrote that.
Oh,
or the Gospels.
The Gospels wrote it, but Jesus said it, and they all
Jesus
died.
Jesus said that, and it was documented, granted, but Jesus did not write it.
Well, he's responsible for writing the whole Bible.
I'm not denying my own, you know, religion, that stuff. I'm just saying that the messenger never written anything. Well, the messenger, I shouldn't say that either, because the messenger is not in the Bible as things he has written.
Well, God wrote some. He wrote the Ten Commandments with his own finger. Okay, so Jesus wrote that part. Now, he wrote those on stones two times. Now, when Jesus told Peter, you're going to deny me, Peter died, never writing or saying that Jesus never said it to him. Peter did what he didn't want to do, and yet it was spoken by all the writers of the Bible, and they died acknowledging that Jesus had said that as if he did say it. So there's no question about it.
But the Bible was written long after Jesus died.
Well, it was only 30 to 50 years.
30 to 50 years, it's a lifetime.
Well, no, I mean...
especially back then, that's 30 to 50 years of a lifetime.
Well, I mean, 30 to 80 or something like that, it was written. He died in 33, and so from within the next few years, I mean, those guys were probably the day Jesus said things, they were probably writing notes down, or they were...
I'm sure they did.
Or they were at least as soon as he died and they saw him alive from the dead. But the Holy Ghost says, I'm gonna guide you into all truth. So obviously when Moses wrote, Moses wasn't at the creation, but God told him what to write. He said, in the beginning, God. Well, God, how did Moses know that? God says, come on up onto this mountain, and I'll be 40 days and 40 nights, and I'm going to tell you some things for right now. And so he wrote. But now, so that's why I say this book is superior to tradition. It's superior to anything I think or that departs from this or anything any priest.
I love the Bible. All right,
well,
I am Roman Catholic, I told
you.
I love the Bible. But I'm also very open-minded, and I understand that other people believe different things.
Yeah.
And they believe it, and they believe in the same type of all-powering God type thing.
Yeah.
They call it a different thing. They worship it in a different way.
Yeah.
I'm very open-minded.
Well,
so, and for that reason, I do not believe this is a part of it.
Yeah.
I completely concede to that, but it's not everything.
Well, but see, I say it's everything. It's everything that you need.
That's what we just said.
It's everything that you need, because tradition never tells history in advance.
Maybe everything I need.
It's everything
it's
man
not everything
needs.
Everybody needs to look.
It's if you get see.
There's different people in the part of the world. If you can look me in the eye and tell me that. Chinamen who are born into a certain religion and who are raised in that certain religion, and they will be condemned to eternal damnation because they were never exposed to this kind of thing.
Look at the tragedy.
Something like that.
Look at the
tragedy.
I mean,
they're worshiping a deity. I mean, they're paying absolute respect. You know, it's not like they're saying this is it and this is not. I mean, these guys are very open-minded, and I'm sorry to think that this is it. And that's absolutely wrong. And those people are going to be cast away. This is the only way. I'm sorry. I just don't believe it.
Men have enough light to damn them. They don't have to reject Jesus to be damned.
Okay.
But they've been given enough light. The heavens declare the glory of God. The revelation of God is there. Now, when they take that revelation and cast it to the ground, then it's enough to damn them without having to know about Jesus. So if they know that God is a designer superior to everything that made us, whatever they call him, we're not worried about the name, but when they worship God as an image...
But when they worship a different name, they worship him in a different way.
No, the issue is that when they make him out of a gold or silver or wood, and they fall down and worship something they made with their own hands, that's idolatry, and that's Hinduism and Buddhism.
All right, I agree with that.
Okay, so that takes care of the biggest part of the people.
I don't know about that, Hinduism and all that stuff.
Well, they got millions of gods they worship, made out of...
And we got things we call saints that are part of all these different things. We pray to this saint for this, and this saint for that. They have a god for this and a god for that. It's just a different name for the same type of thing.
That's syncretism, and that's certainly true, but that's not what Bible is right.
But in a different part of the world, that's how it works.
But when Thomas, who said, I'll not believe except I put my hands, he went to Madras, India, and they stoned him, or they executed him there. They martyred him.
And so, the only martyr. There's plenty of martyrs.
But that's Thomas, and because of that, they don't have the light that they could see. They rejected the light that they had, or the light that was there for them. They executed. So God says, I'll go and find some other people who won't kill my servants when they come.
So you think God abandoned that part of the country?
No, he sent a lot of other people after that. But at that time, it certainly takes a time for God to send somebody else. And so now, here's what Jesus did for us. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin.
Can I stop you right here? Having a much better time just talking to you.
Oh yeah, but I mean,
you're a very good messenger. I'll give you.
I want you to see what God said about because I mean I enjoy talking, but there's an authority, and my words are not as authoritative as this book. And
these,
I would like
these men are great men, but they are men.
They're
inspired by God.
They're more
inspired
than that.
By God's spoken acts.
They're God's.
If I go have a dream tonight, I'm sorry. If I have a visit from somebody, and I write about it, I will be written off as an uncase. As much as these men were. Granted.
Yeah. What it said there was that Jesus, that Christ died for us that he might bring us to God. He didn't open a door so you could walk through there. He by himself brought
us.
He
did open a door
God.
That many condemned before that could walk through.
He brought you to
from
God.
From the time of Adam and Eve, nobody has been able to get into the gates of heaven. And that's part of the reason why Jesus died, to give those types of sin, the original sin, which you were holding in that hand right there. That's why many of those people got to go into heaven. I don't speak very articulately, you know, I'm very direct, and probably part of that just seems ridiculous. However, if that's wrong, please correct me. Because, I mean, these are things I've been brought to believe, and if it is written in the book that has changed, I mean...
Yeah. Well, so the issue goes back to either tradition is authoritative or the Bible is authoritative. They both can't be authoritative because they disagree.
How do you mean?
Well, the
tradition,
Bible...
Tradition, how do you mean?
Tradition says that you'll... If you die with venial sins, you'll go to purgatory to pay those venial sins. You can't die with mortal sins, or you go straight to hell according to Rome. Now, I, of course, believe that Jesus paid for all sins, and when I'm not only my past sins, but my future sins are already paid for, I don't have to ask to be forgiven for them. They're already purged. Now,
so that is a good side to fight for.
See, it's wonderful. Why would you want to think you've got to go to purgatory to purge anything? So they're already purged, and Jesus has already brought me to God. I'm already seated together with Christ in the heavenlies. I don't have to worry about anything. Except that if I don't live for Jesus after I'm saved, I don't get to rule and reign with him when I get to heaven.
I think we'll live among him. I don't know about rule.
He says we'll rule and reign. You see, that's why I say I'm a Bible believer.
All right. Can I ask you this one question?
Yeah.
We've sinned. We've all done it.
Right. I'm wicked evil. I deserve to go to hell.
But do you, like, when you do actually sin, do you feel guilty?
Yes.
Yes. I believe...
But now, you know, I don't
have No.
I don't have to ask to be forgiven.
My belief is when you feel that guilt, that is guilt telling you you've done something wrong.
Sure.
You need to repent something.
Right. Well, so what happens is that I have to confess my sin.
Yes.
And then it says that he's faithful and just to forgive me.
Please.
See, yeah, look.
Talk to me, man.
I'm telling you, I'll show it to you.
It said what I just said.
It says I don't have to ask to be forgiven. I have to confess. I have to say, God, I have sinned.
Why is that not a confession?
That is a confession.
Exactly.
It's not asking to be forgiven because I am already forgiven.
That's a confession. That's what we do.
I know, but I don't do it to a person. I do it to God.
Well, there you go.
And so, but I'm not asking to be forgiven.
Well, as
I'm
far
already
as the Roman
forgiven.
As far as the Roman Catholic
Don't you see the difference?
No, I'm just telling you that, like, when you ask to be forgiven... As a Roman Catholic...
Father, forgive me.
Exactly. Right. We're taught to believe that this is an instrument of God. When we're asking for forgiveness, we're talking about the same thing. That's all I'm trying to say.
But no, there's a difference, and it's not semantic.
So you're saying to me that it's easier.
Forgiveness is what comes with being born again. The new birth has the baggage on the train that you got when you got born again, included eternal forgiveness of sins, because Christ died for our sins. Jesus paid the debt I owe. God accepted it.
So as long as you embrace the religion, you're good.
I can walk away from a religion and my sins are still paid for. The heaven's gates will still open wide for me. It's paid. Jesus has already brought me to God.
Before that?
Huh? I had to get born again to get the benefit of what Jesus did. If I don't get born again, then I die dead. I don't have the Son. I don't have eternal life. According to this book now.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
Please, straight out. This is, I've had a big problem.
All right.
I've had a really, really good friend of mine who was a great guy. Brought a smile to everybody's face. Always make you laugh. And at any second of the day, you know, really upbeat kind of guy. He got into the wrong kind of stuff. He got into some pretty good serious drugs. I mean, he wasn't really into the religion kind of thing. So we just kind of did his thing, and he wound up dying in a serious car wreck that had absolutely nothing to do with drugs, but he was at that end of the spectrum. However, he brought a smile to everybody's face. He's a really good guy. But from what I've learned in Catholicism, that kind of thing, I mean, this type of guy who abused everything, this chemical stuff to abuse his body and that kind of thing, it's just completely against God. However, there was nothing evil about the kid. It's a tough situation to kind of deal with.
Yeah, all that death is. That's the purpose.
What's the purpose?
Is that what you're asking, or what are you asking?
My religion teaches me that people like that do not belong in heaven. When I know deep down that this kid, while he may have abused himself, had nothing but good intentions for everybody else. So that's what I'm asking. What do you think about that, Lego?
What do you do with John Belushi? What do you do with Elvis? What do you do
exactly.
with Jimi Hendrix? I mean, here there's people entertain people. Well, if you die dead, you go to the lake of fire. If you die with life, you go to heaven. If Jesus has brought you to God by His death, then if you die in a car wreck, you haven't been stoned on dope.
So there's no gray area with you guys? That's my argument.
It's
with
absolute. Purgatory. It's absolute. If you're saved,
we're taught to believe that God
is
very
again.
Forgiving. As Roman Catholics.
He's only forgiving in the area, in the place where He says He'll be forgiving. It's an illustration of a backfire. Have you ever heard of a backfire and a prairie fire? You said a backfire.
This is my serious problem with it. As humans, are we more or less forgiving than God? Do we condemn certain people to death? Certain wrongdoings, you know, we let them rot in jail for life, blah, 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 you know. And for those who we let rehabilitate, does God let us rehabilitate?
We all deserve to go to hell. God doesn't have to take any of us to heaven.
That's a
wrong. I ought to go to hell.
Fuck that.
Why? I mean, I owe a debt for my evil.
For the little child who lives for about 3 to 5 minutes?
I'm not talking about kids. I'm talking about adults.
Well, where's the line drawn?
The line?
Where's that?
Well, I mean, it's an obvious situation. The King David in Israel, child died, and he says, he can't come back to me, but I'll go to him. The line is that when you become conscious of God and that your evil that you've done is against God, not just against a person, for example.
Yeah.
But at that point, whatever that is, that your God, if you die before that, you go to heaven. Because the Bible says where there is no law, sin is not imputed. In other words, it's like in law, you have a...
So you cross this line, you shall not return. That's why...
Well, I was going to say that there's a... I'm trying to get the term. The term is you have to be notified of a law. You can't... The police, if there's no speed limit sign on the... there's no speed limit sign on the road, they can't give you a ticket.
Well, you and I both cross that line.
That's right. We know that we've seen a law, we've broken
true.
The law, we deserve to go to hell, but Jesus paid the debt we owe, and if you get the benefit of that payment, when Jesus comes to live in your body with you.
I think you're putting a lot on the man.
Right. That's what he put on it. He put on a burned out, have you ever heard of a backfire?
No, I'm brought up to believe that Jesus gave us a clean slate, and from that point on, whatever's done, that's ours, and we have to repent.
What does repent mean?
Repent? We sit and we tell a guy, a priest, who's supposedly an instrument of God, God Himself type thing, say, hey, I've done this wrong, I knew it was wrong.
That's confession, that's not repentance.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, repentance, then don't use the word, call it confession.
Well, what's the difference?
Well, the difference is repentance is it when
you're sorry about it.
No, it's when you change your way. You quit doing what you were doing. You stop it.
Or you're sincerely sorry about it.
No, you can't. You can be sincere.
If you're sincerely sorry about it, you will stop doing what you're doing.
Not necessarily.
I think we're just using different words to explain different
things. Well, the point is, here's what I say. Being saved will take you to heaven. Being born again will take you to heaven. Believing will save your soul. Repenting will save your life. Repenting is when you stop doing what you know is wrong to do. In other words, adultery hurts me. My life will be saved if I no longer commit adultery. Cursing my father and mother, not honoring your father and mother, will...
There's a lot of fathers and mothers out there who don't belong to be fathers and mothers.
But if I don't honor them, that brings a blight or a to my soul, my heart, my spirit. It brings a bitterness to me. And so I'm going to pay. There's a penalty for every sin. Ah, that's a good tote. But there's a penalty connected to it. Life falls apart. So if you want a life here that's not filled with tears and sorrow, you quit what you know is wrong. In other words, if I smoke a cigarette, I know after 20 years of smoking a pack or two a day, I'm going to carry an oxygen bottle with emphysema.
So you're not hurting anybody else.
That's right, but I'm hurting myself.
It's
a sin. If it's wrong to do.
If you're hurting yourself, I'm sorry.
Hey, my body's the temple of the Holy
Ghost. You're the one that has to cut and suffer the consequences.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't want to suffer the consequences. Okay, so now
you're just being selfish.
Everything that's wrong has got a consequence to it. Everything that's right has a reward and a blessing to it.
Or none.
It doesn't hurt you.
Exactly.
Okay, now, if I am saved, I'm going to heaven. If I repent, if I'm saved and I repent, my life's going to be good on earth. If I believe not, God said He would abide faithful. He doesn't walk away and leave me when I... After I'm saved, I got eternal life. How long's eternal?
About how long?
As long as God is, right? Both ways, back and forward. So now, I got the gift of eternal life when I got Jesus. You got the liquid in there. The cup represents Jesus. The liquid represents life, eternal life. He
that hath...
He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. This is the way we're born. We also, after we're born, we sin. Yep.
You say that's the way we're born?
That we're born.
So we're either born within Jesus or born without.
We're all born in Adam, not in Christ.
All right.
In Christ, when you get in Christ and you get Christ in you, that gives you eternal life. If you die without Christ in you and without Christ, you in Christ, you die dead and you go to the lake of fire and burn eternally. That's what you call eternal death, the second death.
That's my problem. That's my problem.
Now, if you want life...
It's just that...
If you want life, you get Christ. Now, it's not a wafer. It's not a cookie God.
Can I?
See?
My big thing is Christ and God loves all of us.
Yeah.
He'd love for all of us to reach His land, His promised land, His...
He wants you to desperately.
But some of us aren't ready. I'm not meaning me, I'm just saying some people...
What's it going to take you to get ready?
Some people are taken before whatever happens. That's hopefully my argument with purgatory. Hopefully. Those people learn.
Do you want them to go to purgatory or what?
Why not?
So your argument is for purgatory instead of against purgatory.
Yes, if they're born into this world.
But it's not possible.
God has born these people into this world for a reason. Why would He not create them if He does not want to save them? I'm sorry. He loves each and every one of us.
He does.
He loves each and every one of us. He wants all of us to be in His kingdom. Why not a purgatory? And why not? Why does a hell even exist?
Because
if not, when you suffer, you suffer the consequences. And then when you learn the consequences from your actions, why do you not go to heaven? If He loves each and every one of us and that's where He wants us to go, why don't each and every one of us go there?
If He creates each and every one of us. If you don't learn the consequences here, you don't get
this
a second chance.
This is the only place.
It's appointed.
So many lives are this short compared to 85, 90 years. I mean,
it's appointed unto a man. It's appointed
unless those people, when they are taken, they understand His way. Because if He loves us and He wants us to be with Him, we will be with Him.
It's appointed unto a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The judgment is if you're not in Christ, how hot you burn.
No, that's where we differ, my friend.
You reject the Bible.
Yes, I do. Those parts.
But it's the only book on earth that tells history in advance. And you got to deal with that. And if God's a good God, He would have communicated to His creatures. And He's given you a chance. And if you exalt your will and your opinions above God... In other words, you're saying
you're saying that God
has got to do it your way.
No. I'm judging what has happened.
You're judging that God's
just like your
revelation of Himself.
Just like you're judging what has been written, I'm judging what has happened and what has been written. I mean, it's a different interpretation.
If God is a good God, He would have communicated to His creatures. If God is a good God, He would have communicated to His creatures. And He made you in His own image. He made you with a self-determinant will.
All of us.
And if you exalt your opinions above a supernatural book...
I'm interpreting.
It's your.
There's plenty of people on this planet who see a different way.
That's right, and they're like devils.
I don't
They have exalted their...
Just because they believe in a little something different, still born into that kind of
because culture? There's a supernatural revelation.
God gave
it to them.
Guy who dies 2 or 3 years old in China is supposed to...
He goes to heaven. Sin is not imputed to a 2 or 3 year old. But when he gets to be 18 or 19 or 20, he still goes to heaven if he dies. He doesn't understand. He doesn't have a consciousness that it was against God that he committed the sin.
So is it God's will that we understand in a different way?
Roman Catholicism says if you don't take a wafer once a week, you've committed a mortal sin. I cannot pay them myself because I ought to do good, and that doesn't pay for the evil I've already done. And so the only way I can have my sins purged is find somebody else who will purge them for me. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus said. I'm not going to get a Bible out. I'm going to just show you this picture. God accepted His blood as a payment for your sin.
I told you that.
You don't get the benefit of it, though, until He who's alive comes to live in your body with you. I don't care whether you're a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Muslim or a Roman Catholic or a Baptist. If Jesus isn't...
All those guys believe in a deity.
That's
right. They believe it in a different way.
But if He doesn't come into you, the person of Jesus Christ doesn't come in to live with you, you go to hell to pay for your unforgiven sin. Study it. Got some good pictures on it. Good help. Some Bible verses to check out.
The big problem I have with anything written is it was not written by God. It was inspired by God. It was not written by God.
The holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. If I gave dictation to somebody,
and many of them were burned at the stake by the same men who worshiped the same God.
No, man, I don't even know. I know where I'm going.